You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
You better believe it is. And today, you know what we've got? We've got questions and we've got some answers. But we've got many, many questions involving Shohei Ohtani, involving Jonte Porter, involving the NFL draft and Mike Tannenbaum's latest mock NFL draft, which if you haven't seen it, you should stay tuned because we're going to talk to Mike and it is some wild stuff. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Chris Carlin. He's Joe Fortenbaugh. Good afternoon.
A little bit of false advertising off the top there.
Plenty of
questions, yes. Not sure this show is one to dabble in the answers department. Questions, speculation, and then the segment generally ends and we're on to the next thing. So let's not promise any answers. We're not about answers. We're not about conclusions. We're not about nice, tidy finishes. We're about taking something that's a little messy, making it far worse, and then walking away.
Well, I'm about solving problems, so perhaps we should have a larger discussion about where this show is headed and if, in fact, this is a long-term fit for us.
Solving problems. How many of those have you successfully completed since we started this seven months ago?
It's not about how many I've been able to solve so far, Joe. It's about constantly moving forward in the process, as you always espouse. It's about the process. We are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Let us start with Jonte Porter. In case you have missed this story, it is out of the NBA last night, and it is a story that was broken by Woj about Jonte Porter. And last night, David Purdom, ESPN sports betting reporter, joined Amber and Ian to describe exactly what's going on with Jonte Porter of the Toronto Raptors.
These irregularities were on prop bets involving Porter, and those are over-under on amount of points he scores in the game or number of rebounds, so things like that. And he, being a low-profile player, if there is a significant rise in interest in betting on him, all of a sudden something kind of red flags go up at sportsbooks, and that's kind of what happened here. There were two games, one in January and one in March, where sportsbooks detected irregular betting interest on player props. People were coming in there wanting to bet lots of money on the under on his props. In both of those games, Porter left with playing less than 10 minutes. The first game, he cited a lingering eye injury. The second game, which was just last week, Thursday against the Kings, he said he had the flu. And in both of those games, sportsbooks said they took a lot of unusual betting interest on his player props.
Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you to start because this is your area of expertise, your immediate reaction to this story involving Jonte Porter and all of these irregularities.
He is in big trouble. He is in big trouble. He is a relatively unknown NBA player. This is not a marquee guy. And we have not one but two instances in which sportsbooks took an abnormal, or as Purdom says, irregular amount of money on prop bets specifically surrounding him that ended up being winning bets. And in those two very specific instances, he exited the game with ailments not to return. Now, let's give an example. In late January, his prop bets were something like over under 6.5 points, over under 3.5 rebounds, over under 1.5 assists. And here's one of the key ones, over under half a made three-pointer. So you could bet yes or no, over under, would Jonte Porter have a made three-pointer in that game? Mm-hmm. Now, in order for there to be action, okay, the guy has to play. If he's ruled out before the game starts, all bets are refunded. So Porter goes out and plays in this game, does not hit a three-pointer, and then exits the game with an aggravated eye injury that had happened a few days prior. He had aggravated his eye in some matchup. He leaves the game. He doesn't return. All those unders bets cash. Okay. Happens once. All right. That's a little suspicious. Happens again a couple months later. This is an unknown player who's drawing a ton of attention. In both instances, you had the sports book come out and say, this was the most popular bet of the night. That does not happen, my friend. The most popular bet of the night is never an under on an unknown player who checks into the game and then leaves under suspicious circumstances due to an injury. This is how they fix tennis. They find men, women, not Nadal or Federer. They find lesser known people and they have them take a dive, so to speak. They go out, they play a set, they play a set and a half. They might even be winning. And then hamstring tightness, they're out. They withdraw, the other person wins, all the bets get paid out. That's what they're doing now. That's what appears to have happened here. Not saying he's guilty. I'm saying it looks horrible for him.
I came out of this whole thing initially incredibly encouraged on a couple of fronts. Number one, the fact that after two instances, granted, as you pointed out, this is not a prominent guy and those are going to raise some red flags, but immediately they are able to identify there's a major problem here and we can take him out of the mix. He is now not playing as this investigation goes on and immediately restore any sort of doubt as to him being on the court during these kind of instances. Secondly, you know, it's funny, when the leagues really started to get involved with the sports books and started to take the money, they talked about the integrity fee, and we all were kind of like joking, oh, well, that's, you know, the league's getting their piece, right? Well, they also do have these people to pay attention to the integrity, because there is nothing more important in all of this, Joe, not just the betting part of it. The fans have to be able to trust the results of a game. Have to be able to trust that the results were not in any way influenced by anybody purposely tanking. And I think this was incredibly important for the league and could end up being best for the long haul if the NBA finds out he did this on purpose and make an example of him. And once again, just kind of show, hey, you do this, you're not going to be in the league, period. It's over.
Yeah, there's a misconception that the rise of legalized sports betting is going to lead to more of these instances. In reality, it's going to lead to more of these instances being recognized immediately and being shut down. You're not having this happen now because sports betting is suddenly legal. Need I remind you of Tim Donaghy, Benny Sillman at Arizona State? If you're unfamiliar with that, look it up. The 1978-1979 Boston College men's college basketball team. Pete Rose, South African cricket, the White Sox scandal of 1919. There are bad actors throughout history. There are bad actors throughout all of sports. There are bad actors pre-legalized sports betting in America and post-legalized sports betting in America. You will not be able to eradicate this completely because that's just the nature of the world. There are bad actors in all shapes and sizes in all industries. The good thing here is that with regulation and legalization, there's increased scrutiny. So when something like this happens, it is caught immediately. A sportsbook knows how much action it should take on a Jontay Porter prop, okay? When it takes X times however amount much more they took than normal, and it's the most popular prop of the night, and it's an under, and he withdraws from the game, and the bet hits, and then it happens again 2 months later, something highly suspicious is taking place there. So if you are the NBA and you come to the conclusion through evidence that he participated in this, you ban him for life instantaneously, sending a message to both the fans and the players in the game and the future players in the game that this will never be tolerated.
Joe, do you think this would have gotten caught if we were not in this era now of legalized sports gambling outside of Las Vegas?
It's possible it would have slipped through the cracks. But the leagues have always had a relationship with Vegas. This goes way beyond, well before there was legalization, that if there was suspicious activity taking place in the market, bookmakers, sportsbooks in Las Vegas had a direct line. They were alerting leagues on this sort of thing. This right here, to put it in perspective, you can't bet that much on a player prop. No matter who you are, you can't go into a sportsbook and put $1 million on Jontay Porter under half a made three-pointer. Those props are usually capped somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,000 to $2,000. So when someone's trying to get $20,000 down on this and the bet hits, that's one thing. When you're trying to get $20,000 down and the bet hits because the guy withdraws after 4 minutes, that's as suspicious as it gets. And when it happens a second time, now you probably have all the evidence you need. I'm not saying he's going to be found guilty. I'm saying this looks horrible because this isn't new or unique. This is how they fix games or fix matches in tennis. Mm-hmm. You would have someone dominating. They'd be up one set, and then in set two, they could be up 3-1, and then they just retire due to hamstring tightness or a back injury, and boom, just like that, the other person wins, and no one pays attention. The only reason it's caught is because of the volume of money bet on it. It's highly suspicious given the average amount normally bet on a match like that.
You know, the other thing that makes me suspicious on this whole thing is they tried to take it and separate it. You know, we'll give it 2 months before we take another shot at it. And it at least that's what it looks like. And that's not even remotely something that is not going to raise suspicion just because somehow it didn't happen in back-to-back weeks.
Right.
Oh, they'll forget about it. No, these guys don't forget about anything.
No. When the book, let me tell you something, when the book gets beat, it is well aware it got beat. When you go in, you can have a losing bet and get banned from books because they know you're sharp. Sharp means sophisticated. Sharp means long term, you're going to bet them. If you walk into a sports book, I'm not going to say in Vegas because there are books that welcome sharp action, but you can go into some of these square books that are looking to limit winning players. You can walk in there, bet $500 on, let's say, any sort of random college basketball game. And if 2 minutes after you make that bet, the line moves across the board, across the world, that's a sharp move. They know you're operating with a group. They know that you are a professional. They'll ban you. You might lose that damn bet, and you might be either banned or limited to $5 wagers moving forward because they can tell you're sharp because you made the bet right before the line moved worldwide.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, just getting started on this Tuesday. We're also on SiriusXM Channel 80. Somehow, it's not the only gambling controversy right now, and not even the biggest one. Imagine that. We've got the very latest on Shohei Ohtani next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So I never bet on baseball, any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. Up until a couple days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
He basically said that he can't vocalize just how difficult this has been. You could see him sort of on the verge of getting emotional.
Exactly. How could he not know that a trusted friend was stealing from him? I find that hard to believe on some level, and yet he was convincing, at least to me today.
I'll give it to Shohei Ohtani. He did have some emotion toward the end about what was going on with his statement. Watched the whole thing yesterday. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
You watched the whole thing yesterday?
I did.
How long was that?
10 minutes. I mean,
how long?
It was like 10 minutes.
That's not a big ask.
No, I didn't sit there for an hour and a half. What am I doing? Come on.
Well, did they start it on time? Sometimes they like to slow roll you with these things.
Pretty close to it, I believe.
You want to get in and get out.
Yeah.
This exactly. Isn't one of those we want to grab the quarter hour, so kickoff's at 6:16.
Well, in this case, it was all about Ipe Matsuzara and he being Shohei Ohtani's interpreter stealing $4.5 million from Ohtani to pay off gambling debts. Now, there are so many questions around this, you know, whether or not Ipe is taking the fall for Ohtani here. Let's just hear from Ohtani with the most basic statement of what he had to say yesterday. It's Ohtani with his new interpreter.
So I never bet on baseball, any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
So here's my issue. They didn't allow any questions. It was simply a statement, which was not unsurprising. They did not in any way allow more than one or two cameras in the room. Joe, there are still way too many questions. The questions really did not get answered from Shohei Ohtani yesterday, other than his continued denial of the situation. And I have many, many, many questions that I want answers to.
Such as,
how does someone, first of all, get access to your account? How does someone transfer many times in different breakups of $500,000, $4.5 million out of your account without you, or really more importantly, the, I'm sure, numerous people that you have in charge of your money without them noticing at all, without it ever raising any kind of a red flag? And how is it exactly that the very first that you heard of anything was when Ipe is sitting there and addressing the entire team? I mean, those are just a couple right out of the gate.
Well, for starters, what we got yesterday was the lawyer's version of what's going to be happening moving forward, right? Mm. Things were a little messy. Lawyers weren't necessarily involved early on, so lots of people were given an opportunity to speak. Lots of people made mistakes. So they shut down all of that, bought themselves some time, put together the official statement. Here's the story moving forward. This is what we're going to be working with. Occam's razor, right? The simplest solution is almost always the best solution. In this case, it's possible Ipe, the translator, was gambling, got in deep, lost a lot of money, went to Ohtani like he said he did. Ohtani agreed to help him out, paid it off. And when that got made public, Ohtani and the people around him didn't necessarily realize how much trouble that was going to put him in. Remember, the thought process there could be, I don't gamble. I don't know anything about gambling. I got a ton of money. I like this guy. I'm going to try to help him out. Not thinking like, oh, wire fraud could be something I'm dealing with here. I'm just going to make some of these payments and help my guy out. Then it gets out that this is happening. Then you realize, look, you're still going to be in deep water even though you think you didn't do anything wrong. So now we got to clean up the story. It's possible that it's that. It's possible that Ohtani has done nothing wrong at all. How hard would it be to get access to this information and be able to handle these bank transfers, Feels like there's a lot of verifications that need to be able to take place to move money like that. But once you get through the first time, you know, the remaining three, four, five, however many bank transfers after that could have been a little simpler. So I don't know. I don't know how much he was involved here. I know we're always looking for the deepest, darkest scandal. Was Ohtani betting baseball? Was he involved in the game? Did he pull out of the game early and it ended up cashing all these bets? But, you know, right now we have a lot more questions than answers to your original point.
Well, but to be clear, like I'm not rooting for this to be a mess. I'm not rooting for this to be Ohtani gambling. I just want some answers to the simple questions. A simple question that you asked last week. How is it exactly that a guy who's an interpreter and reportedly made around $500,000 a year gets a credit line with a bookie of that much money? Like, how does that happen?
That's the biggest question out there, because you are not getting a line of credit with an illegal bookie to that extent unless that bookie is crystal clear that he's going to be paid when you lose. Not if you lose, when you lose.
I understand lawyers being overly protective and wanting to avoid any problems whatsoever, but if you are someone that is completely not guilty of any of this, why are there not even any questions whatsoever that are allowed in the moment?
Oh, because you can't risk any sort of slip-ups. You already had that. You gave a guy 90 minutes to sit down and give an interview, and he royally botched this. Whether all of it was lies or all of it was the truth, he royally botched this. This is why rule number one is shut your mouth. Always shut your mouth when you're in trouble. Shut your mouth. And yet so many people think, no, let me just go ahead and talk and explain things. I'm really smart. I'll be able to make this go away.
Well, but
it never works that way.
Right. But they had, as we pointed out, they had a few days to really kind of put together the PR plan.
You're still not taking questions.
Well,
why would you, let me ask you this. Why would you take questions when you don't have to take questions?
Well, just to kind of drive home the point a little bit further that you're innocent in the whole thing. But I understand it. I'm not going to knock him for not taking questions.
First question out of the gate. All right, we're going to take questions here. We want to be able to prove that we got nothing to hide. How did that money get wired to that bookie? Please take us through all the steps. How did they get that information? How could he possibly have your banking information if he's just an interpreter? Right there, you don't want to answer anything, because that's immediately going to come up in court. Because we're not just talking about MLB's investigation of Ohtani. We're talking about the FBI's investigation into both these individuals. There is going to be a lot that takes place here. And then eventually, if you're Ohtani, you're probably going to sue this guy to some capacity. You're going to press charges against him. Everything that is uttered, everything is going into the public record and is going to be used in the future.
Joe, I hate to be this guy, and it's unfair to Ohtani at the moment, but there have been too many instances over the last 10 to 12 to 15 to 20 years that we have seen athletes in sticky situations deny until it just comes out that it's true. So maybe, as I said, I'm being unfair to Ohtani, but I find it harder when we see things like this to give him the benefit of the doubt right away.
Here's what you do. And this is the Joe Fortenball School of Crisis Management. Shut your mouth, move forward, do nothing about this, say nothing about this. If there's one thing we know about America in the year 2024, there's another scandal right around the corner. We have very short attention spans. We will be moving on from this very quickly. It is your job to help facilitate that process. The more you speak, the more you do, the worse it's going to get. We are now through the interview phase. What's next? No one even knows what's coming next now that he's talked. Season's going to start. Dodgers are going to limit media availability. No one's going to answer any questions. Between now and the next time a piece of evidence surfaces, there are going to be so many scandals in this country that are going to take our eyes, our mind, our thoughts off this. It's going to be old news by the time we get to the next piece of evidence.
You think this is going away?
I think it's absolutely going away. I don't think it's going to be swept under the rug and we're never going to hear about it again. This is, in terms of this being a major story, it's going away. You think baseball wants this in the spotlight?
I know baseball doesn't want this in the spotlight, but when the feds are involved, that doesn't mean it's going away.
That they're going to do everything they can to keep our eyes off of this. Just don't worry. We got an election in November. How often do you think people are going to be paying attention to this?
I understand, but when the biggest star in the sport is involved in something like this, it's not going away.
Baseball playoffs right around the corner, and then you got summer vacations, and then you got the start of football season. Basketball playoffs, I meant. Carlin, March Madness, all that stuff.
I get it. I'm sorry if, you know, Creighton's not taking my attention away from Ohtani.
We'll have a little show bet here. Little show bet. Let's track how many days we talk about this story from now moving forward. Let's see how many days it makes it into the show.
Okay. I'm on board for that.
Ipe has the over in that bet.
Was that something everyone could hear?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what I should do with that comment.
Was it, in fact, something everyone could hear
yeah.
or not?
Yeah. I can repeat it if you guys would like.
I was like, if I start laughing and no one heard that, then I don't know what ends up happening there. It sounds odd.
Maybe it was Ohtani.
Were you just, how much Ipe material do you have back there? Quite a bit.
Oh, I got my Ipe play of the day.
I mean, I don't know. If I keep laughing, am I getting in trouble here? What do I do?
Carlin versus Joe, yeah, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. That's what you do. Like you said, shut your mouth.
Get us out of here.
An absolute bombshell dropped by Mike Tannenbaum in his latest mock draft. You're going to want to hear that after I tell you about this from our friends over at Indeed, who could not be prouder of me than they are at the moment. It is the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. And there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
1 month from yesterday, the NFL Draft, right here on ESPN Radio and, of course, on ESPN and ABC. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And there are mock drafts all over the place, but when you get them from Mel Kiper, you get the most expert analysis, now you get them from Mike Tannenbaum, who doesn't do it from the what he's hearing, the insider perspective. But he puts together a mock draft for how he would handle it as a longtime NFL executive. And Mike's been in these spots before where he has made big trades on draft day that have landed him the likes of Darrell Revis and Mark Sanchez. But listen, the point is, Mike was always aggressive in getting after it. And his latest mock draft is up on ESPN.com. He joined on Sportsmanlike this morning. And the biggest bombshell for Mike came at the fourth overall pick.
J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, University of Michigan, to the Arizona Cardinals. And I have the Cardinals then trading Kyler Murray and a third-round pick to Minnesota for the 11th pick overall. J.J. McCarthy is 6 years younger than Kyler Murray. He's more durable. Kyler Murray hasn't played a full season, four seasons. And most importantly, guys, he's $27 million per year cheaper. So to me, it's an easy decision. Nothing against Kyler Murray. I think he's still a good quarterback. But if I could have a younger, more durable, and $27 million to improve my team, that's what I'm doing if I'm the Cardinals.
I love it as a concept, Joseph. But I don't know that if I'm the Arizona Cardinals that I want to do it. And I get the idea that you get the benefit of getting the reset on the contract, right? People are getting sucked in on J.J. McCarthy. That's fine. If they still remotely believe in Kyler Murray, the Cardinals can get themselves better in a lot of different ways by trading away that pick and adding more picks, or by drafting the premier wide receiver in this draft in Marvin Harrison.
Love the deal for Arizona. Hate it for Minnesota because it all comes down to Murray. I don't want Murray. I don't want Murray. He hasn't shown leadership. He hasn't shown commitment to the team. He hasn't really shown all that much on the field in how many seasons. I don't like the contract. I'm moving on. I am absolutely moving on if I can get this deal done. And I can reset everything, start with a new quarterback, buy myself some time, not spend as much money. This July, let me put this in perspective for you. This July will mark the 2-year anniversary of when Kyler Murray signed a 5-year $230 million extension. Do you know when that extension starts?
I believe this year.
Yeah, it starts this year. It hasn't even started yet. 5 years, $230 million. When they gave it to him 2 years ago, it looked outrageous. And now you realize 2 years later, off a horrific injury that cost him quite a bit of time, it hasn't even started yet. There's only four guys in the NFL at the quarterback position who are scheduled to make more money in terms of average annual value than Kyler Murray. Joe Burrow, you'd rather have him. Justin Herbert, you'd rather have him. Lamar Jackson just won his second MVP. And Jalen Hurts. That is a lot of money for a guy who has done very little winning, has a lot of questions around him from a leadership perspective, from a culture perspective, from a can we trust this guy perspective. Career stats are okay. 2 touchdowns to every interception isn't great at all. I would not want it. And I love what Mike's suggesting here because you take advantage of Minnesota's desperateness. Kevin O'Connell's hitting year 3. They just lost Cousins. They need a quarterback, but they're not in a position to draft one of the top four. They got to trade up. So you can sit there and you can try to make something like this happen. Maybe they'll take on Murray's deal because they're desperate and it allows you to reset everything. I love it from Arizona's perspective.
From the Minnesota perspective, it is just something that I don't think makes a great deal of sense for them. I get the idea of trying to get someone who can help you immediately. But Joe, I would much rather press the reset button if I were Minnesota. Like if I'm Minnesota, I'm not thinking about trading for Kyler Murray. I'm thinking about trading up to that fourth pick. I have a lot more interest in that. I'm with you on Kyler Murray from the standpoint that I don't know that I can win with him long term. And if that's the case, even if you're giving me a third round pick back, I'm not giving you the 11th overall pick for Kyler Murray. The one part of it that does make sense for Arizona, the resetting of the contract, yes, but also remember Arizona would then have 3 first round picks this year. 3.
Yeah, they'd be in great shape.
Because they've got another one at 27.
They'd be in great shape. If you're Arizona, though, and you're looking at Minnesota, you can tell them, look, you don't have to make a deal for Kyler Murray. You can do whatever you want. But you do run the risk of us just drafting McCarthy at 4 and then us trading Kyler Murray to, say, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Seahawks. You know how many teams out there need a quarterback? There are just enough where someone probably wants to bite on Murray because they're trying to save their job. And if it's not Minnesota, what's the plan? Because you lost Cousins. You wouldn't have any of the top 4 quarterbacks at this point. What are you going to do? Are you going to go in the next season with Bo Nix as the starter? And if that doesn't go well, it's Desmond Ridder in Atlanta all over again, and people are losing jobs. So Minnesota's desperate here. They've already tipped their hand by trading for that additional first-round pick. They need to make something happen. If Arizona's unwilling to do business with them, or if the best they can do is Kyler Murray, I don't like it at all. But I don't know what other options they have that are going to keep them from losing their jobs if this season goes south.
Now, if you're trading them away, you are swallowing the big cap hit this year. But that does not scare teams away nearly as much.
No, you're not competing this year.
Yeah. If you're Arizona, you would deal with that. I feel like it's a lot to ask of the Minnesota Vikings, but I also feel like if I'm Arizona, maybe I'm not all that far away. Maybe I can take one more crack with Murray, and then if somebody wants to back up the truck on J.J. McCarthy, unless I'm convinced he is going to be this year's C.J. Stroud, I can do that. I can absolutely force them to back up the truck. Because remember, the Cardinals have those two first-round picks. They've already got six picks in the first three rounds. They don't have to do a damn thing when it comes to that. If you want to go and get that pick, you're going to pay me an awful lot for it. I understand it from that standpoint. If you are Arizona and trying to offload Murray, I'm still tempted by the talent. I'm still a little tempted by the talent. It's Carlin versus Joe. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. But is J.J. McCarthy even going to be available at the fourth pick? Let me be clear. It's all getting absurd, and we'll explain next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It was great to hear, incredible here. I know it was sincere. It was unsolicited. Numerous GMs, numerous head coaches, you know, couldn't say enough good things. And it was, I mean, you could just see it, right? I mean, his pro day, well, that's literally, I'd never seen a better one.
Oh, dear God.
He loves him. He won him a national championship.
Jim Harbaugh on J.J. McCarthy's pro day. It is the greatest single pro day in the history of pro days. That's what it was. Once again, reminding you that Mel Kiper Jr. said that pro days are a joke. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. So football Jesus continues to climb up the charts there, Joseph. J.J. McCarthy, now all of a sudden, there are rumors that he may not even make it past two. That maybe the Washington Commanders would draft J.J. McCarthy. Why not just save one at this point? You know what I can't get past?
What's that?
I really can't get past this. And we see this with guys all the time at different positions. The guys who during draft season, between the end of their football season and the draft itself, just go soaring up the boards without having played a down of football. Why is it that we heard none of this about J.J. McCarthy at all during the season? Yet we knew that Caleb Williams was going to be the number one overall pick.
Is it because we were so focused on Caleb Williams? And then when we weren't paying attention to Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels was tearing apart the statistical sheets at LSU with a monster season. You have to remember, we came into the season programmed by the draft experts and the NFL experts that there were two quarterbacks we should be watching this year because they were going to go 1-2 in the draft. Caleb Williams and Drake May. Mm-hmm. And then Jaden Daniels emerged. During the season, we don't spend a ton of time talking about the NFL draft, only as it pertains to a couple key guys. And those key guys were brought to our attention before the season started, and we talked about them all season long.
But are there other guys that we're hearing meteoric rises on right now? At any position? Not like this.
Well, not to this extent that we talk. I'm sure that it's been happening at some positions, but we're not going to be talking about, you know, the soaring interior defensive lineman on Sports Talk Radio. It's just not going to move the needle.
Here's Antonio Pierce, Raiders head coach, impressed by all the quarterbacks.
I think it's a very talented group. I mean, we interviewed most of those guys at the combine, had great conversations with them. J.J. McCarthy, you're talking about a national champion, a winner. So I don't know how he's not in the top three.
Listen, they are all jumping on this, and I get it. He's a winner. He is not somebody who won them a national championship. He is somebody that led a team to win a national championship, but a team that was not built around him and his skill set. It was built around him handing the football off and making the occasional throw that he had to make, and he did that. I don't want to take anything away from him. He may be a serviceable quarterback, but it's hard for me to, he may be a good quarterback in the league. It's just hard for me to believe that all of a sudden at the end of the year, we're going to take this position of the utmost importance. And now we're going to move this guy up so far since the end of the year based on all of this. I don't get it.
The oversell is what's alarming.
Yes, the oversell.
Let me ask you this. How often do you, when you're watching TV, see a commercial for a Rolls Royce?
You don't.
You don't, because the Rolls Royce sells itself.
Exactly.
That's Caleb Williams. You have the player who's the premium product. We've watched him play. We all understand. You don't need to stand on top of the mountain and tell us how great he is. We already get it. What we don't get is the greatness of J.J. McCarthy, because we watched him in a lot of games and his team won a lot of games, but he didn't do what we're used to seeing great quarterbacks do in those games. Now, some will talk about the system. They'll talk about Harbaugh wanting to play defense and run the football, and he did what the system asked of him. I'm not doubting that at all. But I would point to the fact that Harbaugh has run a similar system throughout his career. And when he had Andrew Luck at Stanford, he leaned on him a hell of a lot more in the passing game than he leaned on J.J. McCarthy. And that Stanford team was legit. Mm-hmm. Luck started 3 years at Stanford. It's important to note the 2010 season. That was his second season under Harbaugh. The third season in 2011, Harbaugh was gone. He had gone to the Niners. David Shaw was the head coach. Okay. Luck put up monster numbers that year. I'm not going to focus on that year. I'm going to focus on year two under Harbaugh at Stanford, which year two at Michigan under Harbaugh is what J.J. McCarthy's coming off of. Michigan blew their opponents out this season. Mm-hmm. Scoring differential was plus 25. That's what they outscored teams by. Stanford that season, plus 23. Stanford lost a game to Oregon on the road. It was their only loss that year. They were 12-1 in 13 games that season. They were incredible. Now, they blew teams out just like Michigan did. They could have leaned more on the run. They didn't. Luck threw the ball six times more per game, completed four more passes per game, threw for 60 more yards per game, averaged 2.46 touchdowns per game, where McCarthy averaged just 1.46. Quarterback rating was much better. And on top of that, when McCarthy ran for 202 yards and three touchdowns on the ground, Luck ran for 453 yards and three touchdowns on the ground. He played two fewer games. Point is, the Harbaugh system, this whole J.J. McCarthy's incredible, but he's just doing what the system asks him to do. Harbaugh's system in the past has asked elite quarterbacks to do more. And those quarterbacks have looked great in the system doing more and then gone on to the NFL and been great in the NFL as Andrew Luck was. So if this guy's as good as Luck, because let's be honest, I'm sure Harbaugh saw Andrew Luck's pro day, and he didn't call it the greatest pro day he's ever seen. He said, this is, if he's trying to sell this kid this hard, why didn't he as the head coach lean on him more like he did Andrew Luck? Did he just want to run the ball more? He didn't want to pulverize anybody using the quarterback play? I don't buy it.
The year you're talking about, the 2010 season, right?
That is Andrew Luck's second year at Stanford. Right. It was the final season of Jim Harbaugh at Stanford.
Right, and the previous year they were running the football a ton. They had Toby Gerhart. Remember him?
Yeah,
he had nearly 2,000 yards. It speaks to me about where Harbaugh honestly believes in guys, and he's always going to say those things in this spot. I honestly don't think. Let me ask you this question. If Harbaugh did not have his quarterback in Justin Herbert, and he had a top three pick, do you think he would take J.J. McCarthy?
No.
Neither do I.
I think he took the Charger job because he had Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
He had elite quarterback play. You're telling me in a game against Ohio State, the biggest game of the season, you threw the ball 20 times with J.J. McCarthy. He threw for 148 yards. Check down Charlie. In big games, the USC game for Andrew Luck, 20 of 24, 285 yards, 3 touchdowns. In the Oregon shootout, which they lost, 29 of 46, 341 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bowl game against Virginia Tech, I think that was the Orange Bowl, 18 of 23, 287 yards, 4 touchdowns. When Harbaugh needed to lean on a quarterback in big games, he leaned on him and he got big results. In the big games here, McCarthy played very well against Alabama, but they didn't lean on him nearly as much as you would think in big games.
Do you think McCarthy's going to be a big-time quarterback in the league?
I think he's got potential, but no. No, I don't. I think he could be a good quarterback in the league. I'm not sitting here in awe.
Neither am I. I think he might be a guy that you could win with, but I think more likely than not, if you trade up to get him, you're going to be stuck with just a guy.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.